Welcome to the Planning Board meeting, May 21st, 2025. The time is 6:30 p.m.
Recording in progress.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Judy.
Here.
Mark.
Here.
Tim, here. Brian.
Here.
Dave.
Here.
Linda.
Here.
And Kevin.
Here.
All right. So we'll kick right off. First up is an informational hearing. Applicant John L. Cooper and Kaylee Cooper, 186 Halls Mill, Halls Village Road, Chester, New Hampshire. And the owner is William G. Cooper III, 325 Patent Hill Road, Candy, New Hampshire. Property location 325 Patent Hill Road, Candy, New Hampshire. Map 414, lot 108-1 and lot 108-3. Intent to take 3 acres out of current use on lot 108-1 to build a single-family home and take lot 103 out of current use to build a single-family home. Is the Cooper clan here?
How are you?
Come on up.
My son John's going to wait right now and not take that...
Take the lot out of 108-1. So all I want to do is take 108-3 out of current use.
We don't have a map. Do you have a map? What we got here?
Most of it's on the map that we're talking about a lot line. That's this property.
It's on the back side.
We're not doing the lot line adjustment.
Oh, right, but it's now the same.
But it doesn't show the
108-1.
Yeah.
All right, 108-1 wraps around 108-3. Okay, so they don't have 108-2 on this other one, it looks like.
But it's probably the one up by the road, right up by the hill road.
Yeah, these are all right off Patton Hill, right? And there's...
Correct.
So you guys, this is 108-1 and 108-3. Am I right? 108-1 and 108-3. So it's this and this.
These two.
I can pass this around if you guys want to see it. So from what I saw there, they all have 200 feet of road.
108-3. And 108-1, we're not doing anything with right now.
Okay, so
it's this piece.
Oh, okay.
What's the acreage on
here?
Yeah. This has already been approved. It's stamped down at the bottom.
Yeah, so if you're just taking out of current use,
that's
not moving any property lines,
right.
That's
nothing to do with us.
Yeah, that's just going.
We intended to move a property line. That's why John had applied.
Okay.
And we had to cut off the back land or move it to one of these other two lots. So, but we're not going to do that right now.
Okay, yeah, so as far as we're concerned, basically you just go to the tax collector and pay a filing fee and get it out of current use.
Okay.
If you need to do that lot line adjustment at some point in time in the future,
then we have to
Right.
Then you come back here
okay.
And give us a plan of where you're moving it to. And,
right.
That's basically about it.
Okay. I just found out that John wasn't doing that right
now. I just wanted
to
take a picture.
So.
Okay.
What is the cost to take it out of current use?
They'll figure it out for you.
I have no idea. Yeah.
It's not cheap.
It's 10% of the assessed value, right?
Correct.
So whatever a house lot is assessed for in Candia.
Well, how many acres are on that?
Three.
Three? Yeah. So, yeah, it'll be based on the 3 acres. Yeah.
Okay. So that's it?
Yeah.
That's
okay.
It. Yeah.
Thank you.
You got to go write a check to the next collector and
fill
out.
Oh, boy.
That's something we all look forward
Thank
to.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Saving on taxes for how many years?
What's that, 25?
There you go. You made out all right. All right, next up. Scenic Road, tree trimming and removal. Jeff Wiebolt. I'm not going to even say your address or anything, Jeff, because this is in here is the town road agent for the town of Candia. It's north. The property location is North Road, Candia, New Hampshire. Intent to cut 5 trees over 6 inches for safety and maintenance of the area. Go.
So, yeah, all the trees that you guys have in front of you that we're looking to cut are all dead. Two of them are ash trees, and 3 of them are actually red oaks that have been just killed over the years. One of them aggressively hangs over the road, and it's in the process of dying. The foliage is barely there, and then all the rest of the 4 have no foliage at all. And then one of them, the tree number 5, is so bad, it doesn't even have any limbs hardly. So
that's the one right here?
The last one, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that one looks pretty bad.
I curious, Jeff, you mentioned over 6 inches. Does that mean anything under 6
for
inches?
For scenic, yeah. Anything under 6 inches we can cut without your approval. Or
thank you.
Yeah.
We just need a motion to...
Unless anybody's got a comment or...
No.
Question
I go
or,
by and they do look...
Cut them down.
Oh, yeah. They're very rough.
Yeah.
I'll make a motion that we say proceed. As requested.
Second. Perfect. Okay. Judy.
Yes.
Mark.
Yes.
Tim, yes. Brian.
Yes.
Dan.
Dave, yes.
Dave.
Sorry.
Tonight it's Dave.
Linda.
Yes.
And Kevin.
Yes.
All right, there we go. Moving right along. Number 3, case number 25-004, lot line adjustment. Applicant Franklin Vera and Associates, 143 Raymond Road, Unit 4, Candia, New Hampshire. Owner Fowler Family Trust, 302 Chester Road, Candia, New Hampshire, and Sanborn Living Trust, 312 Chester Road, Candia, New Hampshire. Property is 302 and 312 Chester Road in Candia. Map 414, lot 75-2, and 76 and 77. Intent to adjust lot lines to address encroachment of lots 75-2 and 76 onto 77.
Good evening. I'm John. I'm from Franklin Vera Associates. I'm here with our surveyor on staff, Ryan Fowler, tonight. This first sheet, this is just an overview of the property. One of the lot 77 is almost 300 acres. It's almost completely in conservation. The area that we are going to be adjusting the lot lines is going to be right here off of Chester Road. So I'm going to flip over to the detail on sheet 2. So I have on my display here just a little bit of color. The existing lot lines are these dashed ones in yellow, and the proposed lot lines are these ones here in pink. So lot 75-2 is currently about 33.4 acres. We're going to be adding a little over 3 acres to it, which will ultimately make it a little over 36 acres. Lot 76, it's currently a non-conforming lot of record. It's only got just over an acre. We will be adding about 0.6 acres, so it'll end up being about 1.6 acres at the end.
Okay.
There is, on lot 77, there is a conservation easement. Part of that easement does extend down to Chester Road for access. The intent is going to be to put the new lot line down that easement.
Gotcha. So you're cutting off. So lot 77 had road access, currently has road access on Patent Hill and Chester Road.
Correct.
You're cutting that chunk off and moving part of it to 77-2 because you have basically the old property line went right down through the middle of a driveway.
Correct.
With, you know, garages, barns, whatever on one side and a house on the other.
Correct.
Got it. So, so there's still road access. I mean, it looks like 200 feet, but do you know what that road access size is on Patent Hill?
It's about 336. Sorry. It's on this front.
Yeah,
it's
over
300. Yeah, it's over
300
feet.
Reference number 6. Because
I don't have plans for this number 6 with me tonight. Let's see.
It's got 85.
No, I was talking, but I'm talking.
It'll have 337 feet.
Thank you. Yeah, 337 feet. Yeah.
For 77 on Patent Hill.
On Patent
Hill. Correct.
Okay.
Yes. Correct. Yeah, and it will still mm-hmm. remain having access rights via the strip that is going to be still under the conservation easement.
Okay.
So there will be access from Chester Road, even
because,
though the
right, because if we cut that access off to Chester and they didn't have the proper frontage on Patent
right.
Hill, we'd be creating a non-conforming.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We're not.
So we're not. Just confirming. All right, so we are... This is fixing an issue that currently exists where the property line goes right down the middle of a driveway and...
Actually goes through two driveways almost.
Yes.
Correct,
yeah.
Yes. And on lot 76, they currently have sheds and a leach field which were installed on lot 77.
Right.
So yep. That would address those as well.
Plus it's making a non-conforming lot a little less non-conforming.
Non-conforming. So you're done, but you're just not quite as done. So it's all good. Yep. Okay. Anybody got anything?
Well, the only thing for the drill holes, shouldn't that be concrete?
Currently, the drill holes that are there, I found those. Those were set when they did the conservation easement. I did request a waiver to not set monumentation along the new lot lines. Because it's an access easement, they would potentially build a driveway which would remove the monuments. I also believe that there is sufficient monumentation between the drill holes and the iron rods that lot line could be reestablished pretty easily in the future.
All right, so yeah.
Make motions for the waivers, right?
For the waiver, yeah.
Yeah, we have two items to approve.
Right. I just want to look here. So this is currently, that's currently marked to there. And there would be, so that line
over
there.
By the shed. See in the corner?
Right.
down. There's an iron rod there, and they're just measuring off of that. Another drill hole down at the other one.
So those were existing, aren't they?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, because it's on the existing property.
Right.
So as long as they keep reference onto the plan,
of how far off the new lot line would be from those pins.
Well, I think I'd kind of like to request a plan where those three lot lines come together. Right. Oh, but I see you got the access road there. Got it.
Yep.
Got it. Yep. So you can't really put a pin and a post and stuff there.
But as long as they get it measured and it stays on the on the plan, the distances.
And everything else is existing pins, pretty much looks like since found.
Yeah, drill holes or iron pins.
I mean, just do a lot line adjustment. I can't see making somebody put granite posts in.
No.
I don't think that's a...
We've done that.
Especially in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
Yeah, but even some of these other ones. There's existing pins there.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think asking somebody to put granite markers in and...
I agree. I believe it would be excessive.
Yeah. Right. The dam is already established.
Yep. So the first thing we need to do is determine the waiver for the pins, for the granite monument pins.
I'll make the motion that we accept it. The rationale is sound, and I don't see a point in having requirement for granite markers or anything like that, or things in the middle of the road.
Yep.
I'll second the motion.
Okay. So that's 5.06E, and then we could do the second one, because those two separate waivers.
Separate.
Yeah.
Is there another waiver?
There was a second waiver that was just requesting the to waive the requirement to show the entire parcel, being that one of the lots is almost 300 acres.
Yeah,
doing separate,
There's an existing plan to that.
I'm sorry, number two, yeah. So we will have to do it two different votes.
Right.
Yeah. All right, so Judy.
Mr. Chair, can I do a point of order?
Yeah. Sure.
I believe it's in the town reg. You guys can waive it however you want, but I'm pretty sure they have to have granite bounds. You can waive it.
That's what we're doing
right now. That's what we're doing right now.
No, I know, but...
What are you bringing it up for, Mike?
Yeah, so we're doing it right now.
Well, it's because it's a town reg that you're supposed to do it.
But they're asking for a waiver, and we're attempting to vote on their waiver.
I didn't hear you guys say waiver. Okay. I'm not trying to...
Pay attention, Michael, please.
Yep. Okay, so Mark.
Yes.
Tim, yes. Brian.
Yes.
Dave.
Yes.
Linda.
Yes.
And Kevin.
Yes.
Okay, so number two is not requiring them to survey the entire
property. Number one is
This
is the set block corners.
Okay, so we did number two first. So number one is survey the perimeter. Of the entire property, and as stated, it is a very large piece of property.
It is well established by previous surveys.
Yes. And it is well established by this board that
we have granted those in the past.
Yeah, that we don't require the entire, 70 some odd acres or something.
One of them is almost 300.
Right.
290.
The big one is 290 something.
Then I'll make a motion that we grant a waiver for the request for the complete survey of lot 75-2 and 77.
And I'll second that.
Okay. So, Judy.
Yes.
Mark.
Yes.
Tim, yes. Brian.
Yes.
Dave.
Yes.
Linda.
Yes.
Kevin.
Yes.
All right. So those are the two waivers that are accepted. And now, anything else in terms of the boundary line adjustment, lot line adjustment?
No.
What do you want to make?
It's an improvement. A lot that's already undersized, so.
And another lot line that goes right down the middle.
Right.
Yeah. Gotta admit, someday I'll find the history out. It's interesting, but yeah, it's for today.
Why it goes down the middle of the...
I mean, we used to buy shingles and stuff from the Sanborns years ago, so, yeah. But,
yeah.
Anyway.
Well,
I'll make a motion to accept the lot line adjustment and approve it.
Second.
Yep. You're going to say something, or you're just going to...
Nope, I was second.
Okay, cool. We're going to go in reverse order this time. Kevin.
Yes.
Linda.
Yes.
Dave.
Yes.
Brian.
Yes.
Tim. Yes. Mark.
Yes.
And Judy.
Yes.
Okay. There we go.
Painless.
Thank you very much. I have a question just for my own edification. When you see things like this and things in conservation and easements with rights of way, does that give the public access to that property to walk?
I mean, you're asking me, but I would say no. I think it's just a right of way in.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the range way is a something that you run across sometimes, and there's a range way in here. That's private property as well, right?
It's kind of like a historical thing that when they...
The King's Grant.
Yeah, right, the King's Grant. Okay, we have a range way here.
But that's still private property. It's
yes.
not a public access.
That's what I would say.
But if it's not posted?
I don't know. Well, if it's not posted, can people walk?
You can basically walk anywhere you want.
Until you're told
not posted.
To.
Yeah. But you might want to be polite and not do that.
Technically should ask permission first. But
well, yeah. I was walking with Bo one time, and his property abuts this, and he turned it into a 5-mile walk into the Sanborn property, which is magnificent. And it's like, wow, I guess I don't know if we're supposed to be here or not.
I think it's okay as long as you're not crossing any trespassing signs.
Yeah. So if with an easement, if somebody has property that they can't get to, can they use that easement to get to their property if it's landlocked?
I would think so.
Yeah, that'd be a reason.
That's what I kind of thought.
So
that
with
easement
this,
meant.
With this,
well, you said no, you can't go down, and I'm like, well, easements, the landlocked. Yeah,
it may have conservation. So if they go to log it or something like that in the future, the conservation people, if they log it off. And
like
they need that access.
Yeah.
They could approach the property.
It looks like he said something.
Okay.
So basically, it depends on how the easement's written, right?
Yeah.
Who has rights to said easement? Mm-hmm. You can have easements that have public rights, or you have easements that have public private rights. With the rangeways, typically, if they weren't adopted for public use, there's still private landowners, landlocked parcels that have rights to that rangeway. That's how their access was gained. So there's a prescriptive right there. Some of these right-of-ways by prescription, you know, could be contested, and there's some legal course that could happen to either prove or deny that right to access, right? Most right-of-ways, you know, public right-of-ways of the state are controlled by the public body for the benefit of the public unless they're reversed, you know, by the town, either by town meeting or selectmen, right? Then the ownership reverts to the private property owner. But there's still private rights that exist along that access. They're only abolishing the public rights. So it's kind of a little bit of a difference. On your turn of, you know, if it's not posted in the state of New Hampshire, you are allowed to access on other people's properties. If it is posted, you're not. We don't have a right to trespass laws. Surveyors, we're not technically allowed, per se, with our work, but the public in general is allowed. But depending on how the easements are written, depends on who has rights. So, like, for instance, the conservation easements, a lot of times, depending on who owns the easement, Southeast Land Trust, when they take easements, they typically have wordage in there to allow public use, public trails, public access. Yes, in perpetuity. NRCS doesn't usually always have that requirement. That's who holds this easement, is the NRCS, holds it as a wetland easement across the property, and so they have rights for access, but not necessarily opening it up to the public. The private landowner that actually owns the fee land underneath has the right to dictate who has access.
Thank you.
Thanks.
For the
clarification.
Yeah. Yes.
Right. Next up is the minutes.
Clarify one thing real quick. didn't mean to make anything bad. All that I was saying is you need to make sure that everything is clarified. And
well, we did. But, okay. So, anybody got any comments on the minutes?
No, all good. Motion to accept minutes as written.
I'll second that.
All right, Judy.
I'm abstaining.
Mark.
Yes.
Tim, yes. Actually, these came out really well, I thought.
Yeah. AI, right?
Brian.
Yes.
Dan. I need
help. Hey, geez, I
yes.
did it again. Linda.
Yes.
And Kevin.
Yes.
All right. So that's that. Now we get into a fun conversation, maybe.
I thought they were all fun.
Well, we have got somewhere in here. There we go. We got hit with a significant price increase from the union leader for public notifications.
Goodbye, everybody.
So this affects our prices for doing legal notification for any application to us. And we have in our wonderful regulations three different places where we talk about what we charge for legal notification. Under the minor site plan regulations, dated 2010, we have legal notification fee of $50, and we pay $35 per inch now to the union leader.
Wow. Inch of text?
Yep. Yeah.
Well, is it column inch?
Column inch, yeah.
Yeah, column inch.
Oh, column
yeah.
inch. Yeah. Okay.
Which is not a lot of
no.
text in a column inch, right?
No.
So that, obviously, we're losing money on. Under under major, shoot, major. I didn't tag it. Oh, here it is. Under major subdivision, we're covered because we have legal notice fee of $100 with an asterisk that says subject to postal and noticing fee increases, which is the smart way to do it.
Right,
now
that covers us.
That covers us
yeah.
going forward, right? And then under the just basic subdivision regulations, we have it again in Appendix C, where it says legal notification $100 with no asterisk. So we got 50, 100 no price increase, and 100 with price increase.
There's nothing in
between. I'm confused.
So it's mentioned in three different places in the regulations?
Because they're different notices.
Yeah, but it's
things.
The same
minor.
Cost to
okay.
us, right? Mm-hmm. Whether you come in for a minor or major,
okay.
right? It's the same cost to us. And we've got 50, 100, and 100 with sliding scale.
If I may interject, I think that things that just weren't updated on every single document when they did get updated in the past, we have been charging $150 for a public notice fee for all applications, CBA, lot line adjustment, subdivisions. And now with this increase, I did the math, it's around a 10% increase. So if we were to match that increase, it would be probably $165 would be the best idea. But I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah,
we have been doing $150.
That was going to be
so
my next question to you is what have we been charging?
Here we go.
Yeah. 150,
so
okay, that makes sense.
So now the situation is, in order to make any changes to this, right, we have to do two public hearings and vote.
Yeah.
Okay? So my suggestion is we pick a number and we put the asterisk in each one of these regulations.
I like that.
So we don't ever have to do this again. Well, maybe for 10 years or 20 years when none of us will be on the board, hopefully. 20 years? Yeah, probably. Yeah, you know, I'll be 86.
Maybe not living.
Yeah,
right.
Right. And definitely not caring.
Yeah, that sounds like a easier method to do.
Could you repeat the asterisk, please?
Slide, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I want to hear how it would read.
How it was, yeah, how it read.
Yeah, and I'm not living and dying by this. And while we're doing this, we may want to look at all these other charge fields too and decide what we want to do so that we do it all at once, right? So both legal notice fee of $100 and a abutters applicant license soil. Oh, I don't understand. Abutters applicant owners, engineers, architect, licensed land surveyors, and soil scientist notices each $7.56. I don't know why that was picked, but that and $100 for the legal notice have the asterisk subject to postal and noticing fee increases.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Yep.
Right.
So I would say you don't have to hurry and do anything because the asterisk is already there.
It just needs to be put in the two
it
different
just needs
places.
To be put in the other
oh, okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And while we got to do that, we might as well change them all to 160 with an asterisk.
Mm-hmm.
160 or 175.
165.
Let's go 165. There'll be
another increase. $164.99. So, now, let's go down the rest of the charges just to see what we all think and see if that we need to address those two. Yeah, we'll start in the major subdivision. The application fee is $200. Then we get the legal notice fee. Then we get the...
Wait a minute. Application?
I think it's site plan review. Site plan review is $200.
$200. Okay. You're at the... Not the top. You're not on A. You're down at F.
No, I'm at...
I'm just looking at what we have in front of us.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't know what... that's Appendix C.
So where are you? Where should we be?
I'm not in something you've got.
that would be a problem.
I got something you don't got.
I can't say anything if I don't know what it is.
Okay, so... that comes out of the subdivision regulations section, updated 2019... which does not have the application fee on it. That just has abutter notices with no money, legal notice fee of $100, the Mylar processing, the recording fees, which we don't do. So we don't even need to worry about that. And that's all that's in that section there. And I think... That was copied because that was what was listed in some other documents, was that subsection C. So we'll need to change that legal notice to the same as we're going to have that 165. That $100 in front of you, we're all going to change to 165 with an asterisk.
And that's based on what? The fee for notification?
Correct. That's the fee for the notification. And we can look at other towns here in just a second. Well, I guess we can do that now, but I think we're all pretty cool with that number. So the other fees that are listed in the major subdivision regulation are the application fee of $200. Now, this is published in 2019, so that has not changed since 2019. So it may be worth it to have that discussion, too. Do we want to increase that, or is $200 enough? I don't feel one way
so
or the other.
So this Appendix C is a current...
That's current...
2024.
Well, it's actually... It's dated 2019.
So for the...
But what we have in front of us is 2024.
24.
Right.
So we're kind of looking at two different things here.
So like Megan was saying, if it's a 10% increase on that, maybe we should go up on the other one too. Put a 10% increase, and that would cover it.
With
an asterisk.
See, I don't understand where this major subdivision of 150 came from, because in the major subdivision, it says 200.
So, who created this document?
Yeah.
Do you mean?
The person, July 18th, 2024, I'm not sure. This is just, this is on the Candia Town webpage under the planning board. The top document is planning board fees, and that's where I pulled this from.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's why I wasn't paying attention to this. I was reading from the actual ordinances. So that 150 is 200. That's the real number. For the major. What's the minor number? Hold on.
And how are these numbers derived? I just hate fees. And, like, is it arbitrary that we think we should charge a fee, or is this actually paying somebody's salary to do certain work? Like, how is that? Is that just snatched from the air that we think people should pay that much money? Just wondering.
Yeah, I would imagine it was a thought process that happened back in 2019
Well, I think some of this is to cover costs that the land use office would be doing for work.
Correct.
And instead of burdening the taxpayers of the town, you burden the person who's coming in with the application who wants to do whatever, subdivide or do.
Okay, so this is basically paying for the building inspector.
For their work.
But
reimbursing the town back for some of the time that they spend on these applications.
Obviously, the five or six applications we get a year don't make a dent in that cost.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
But that's the idea behind
just,
it. Is
just
to
trying to understand the rationale.
Create some offset.
Always a good question.
And where this came from rather than just perpetuating because we always did it that way. Right?
Yeah,
right.
But that's the idea behind it. I mean, where the number came from, I have no idea. It was... you know, and I'm kind of torn on it, right? If we're really trying to recoup some costs, $200 isn't much money. But on the other hand, it's already really expensive to file and do this process. And I could go either way on where we sit on that number. And also, the application fee in the minor subdivision regulations is only $75.
It shows 100.
It's 100. Yeah.
It's 100 on here.
I see.
So how much is it in the regs?
75.
Well, 100 is probably the more accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, you know, we need this ordinance, and this is the exact same version that is currently on the website. So it's
the Megan, what do you have an idea roughly of how much time you would spend on an application for a major? Just
that's a great question.
Guesstimate.
I haven't done one front to back yet. I don't think for a major subdivision.
Yeah.
However, there is a significant amount of time that goes into it, depending, I guess, on how major the subdivision is. I know that a lot of, you know, just office supplies in general, I print out and throw away and reprint out and re-throw away things all the time, all day. So I guess roughly...
You could spend a day anyways, right? A good day.
Oh, 100%. 100%. And, like, for days like this when we have meetings,
right.
It takes a good chunk out of my day to make sure that everything is organized and laid out correctly.
So your work
may
go into a second day to complete.
Yeah, and, you know, chasing down the developers or the engineers and trying to contact with them.
Mm-hmm. So 200 is probably a reasonable...
I feel the same way. It's probably low compared to what it actually costs us to process that application.
Right.
Yeah.
But it is an
offset.
Like it is an offset, and I just get concerned that, you know.
But I'm with Kevin. I'm not crazy about nickel and dime and everything else.
Right, but the labor.
Right, we don't want to shortchange
the labor.
Us.
Right, asking to understand.
No, it's a great question.
It's a good question.
Yeah.
So now we have a full idea here.
Can I just say that the fees, especially like for major subdivisions, these are developers that are coming in, and they don't really balk at paying these fees.
Right.
In all the towns that I've ever covered as a reporter, or in the town that I'm working at right now, you know, I mean, I think Auburn charges $250, plus they also add an additional $25 based on square footage and how many... how many sheets are going to be needed on the plant. We've copied that.
It's within reason for all the other towns around.
So, yeah, and that's really actually what we've got right here, too, guys.
I mean, it's not your nickel and diming them. They are asking to come in, and they expect to pay these fees.
Right.
I would ask you to make sure that you are charging enough. You are charging enough to make sure that.
So Auburn is two major site plan, 250 plus 25 per 1,000 gross floor area, and an administration fee of 35 per approval.
Chester's 300.
Yeah. These are current year, like right now.
I pulled them off of the town website.
Right.
And believe me, development is not being slowed down.
No.
Would a 10% increase on, do the 165, like you were saying, and then an asterisk, so that recoup costs as costs go up, and then a 10% on the 200 on the major.
So the fees.
Yeah.
So
would
have an asterisk with a 10% increase.
Yeah.
So Deerfield.
So
is
that Candy is covering at least the cost of what we have to spend for an application.
Right.
Like paperwork, so labor.
It shouldn't come out of the taxpayers.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So
funding
in terms of
developments.
In terms of, I haven't made heads or tails of Raymond yet, but we got Chester at 300, Deerfield at 200.
Yeah, but they also have in Deerfield, the town planner, too, gets a separate check.
Application fee, yep. Yeah.
You town here.
Town planner review, yep.
Out of curiosity, the 150 rubber charge also includes abutters notices?
No, so abutters notices are the postal rates plus $2. So right now the postal rate is $9.64, and that's, you know, to do certified mail, the physical receipt, and then the plus $2. Not exactly sure what the plus $2 is for, haven't asked, but I'm assuming it's probably to make up for supplies, papers, so
right.
Yeah.
Well, in our subdivision, in our major subdivision, we have abutters $7.56 each with an asterisk for postal and fee increases.
And here we have $11.64.
So our rent.
I know, but this again is 2024. Yours is 2019.
So maybe they, now I also noticed here, if you look down, and this is interesting because this I don't see in the regs, but maybe I didn't find it. So you get the application fee is or not. Right, there's 100 and 150, but down here on the site plan review, it is 75 and 200, which is what we have for the application costs. So we
right.
do have those two charges. We have a site plan review charge and an application charge.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if we're charging both of those or not.
Hmm. Well, it is two different.
Right.
Two different things.
Processes.
Two different processes, yeah, that you're looking at.
Yeah, so for something like that, that would be two different hearings, right? They would come in first for the...
Well, I think the application is just to get you the application.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And for you to process the application and get everything going. And the site plan review would be us, obviously with you spending a lot of time too, doing the review of the site plan, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is only for developments. If somebody says, I want to subdivide a lot and build a house, you just get a building permit, right?
Well, no, they got to come in here to get that subdivision.
Right.
So
well,
as of right now, they
minor.
Right, it would be a minor, so they'd pay us $75.
Okay.
And then they'd pay us, according to this, which makes sense because it did have the price escalator, so it makes sense that a butter's notification will be $11.64. I don't know who sets those prices. I mean, I'm assuming it would just be administrative. It would just be you looking at, hey, the cost of postage went up or whatever, and we just kick it up, right?
Usually
yeah, we have
make
a
recommendation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's we definitely need to obviously need to clean this up, right? Because we're seeing... We got four different price sheets.
Right.
Yeah.
And we know that there's going to be developments that are going to be coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So it behooves us to get it squared away.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why...
So the only one to start with that you're changing, suggesting the change, is the the application for the major.
No, I'm saying since we got to redo this and we got to edit these things and we got to go through two public hearings and we got to vote on it, I'm saying let's do it once. Get all these charges.
Right, that's what I was getting at.
Yeah. I'm not going to replace one line item when we again get four different price sheets in four different places.
So how would we list the asterisk? As the is it an annual review of cost increases?
Well, it's easy to do for the notification pieces.
Yep.
Right.
No, because I mean for postage. Any of the, like, say we do asterisks up on a bunch of different things. Would we just say in a footnote, you know, it's a based on the annual increase or cost increase? You know, because that stamps go up every couple of years.
I don't know that
we have a metering machine here.
Do we
buy stamps?
We have a machine that we run through.
Okay, a franking machine.
So that just gets charged when we go to recharge it.
Yeah, you put so much on it.
Whatever the current rate is,
it
just gets applied, right?
Yeah.
So that's how the asterisk would work. It's like, they've increased it twice this year, so I came in February, but I also came in November, and they're different rates. How come? Because they changed it twice this year.
Yeah.
So do it as the costs change.
Correct.
Right. Yeah. I don't think we can do it on the fees, you know, the standard fees that don't have a fixed cost to them.
No, that has to be. That has to be fixed.
That has to be changed, right? Because I remember we tried, when we did the impact fees, we tried to put a construction cost, you know, whatever, the construction cost index increase into the reg, and we couldn't. We'll have to vote on it every year, but it'll just be a vote. So if we decide we want to raise things, we're going to have two meetings and a vote on it. But, you know, so I don't know what else we will, you know, what else we can do other than those things.
Right.
And by the way, Megan's own initiative, she did a nice job with this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not a budget process that you have to do to implement that?
No.
No,
you just said it has to be a public hearing.
Two public hearings.
We have to have a public hearing.
I'm talking about, you just said, like, regular costs. That should just be a budget hearing.
No.
Budget
committee doesn't have anything to do with this.
I mean, let's be. I think
this doesn't come out of taxes, but the budget committee is looking at tax impact, and this isn't impacting the taxes burden on the town at all. This is just a fee structure for individuals at the committee.
No, I understand that, but if you're talking about increasing, then you need to put that...
I think the answer to your question, Michael, is no.
Yep. No budget needs.
Oops, sorry.
All right. So, I guess as I look at all these costs in the different ordinances, I think this Appendix C we have here, which isn't in the ordinance...
More accurate.
is more accurate and is more complete. So I think we should work off of this, right, and put that into the ordinance.
Correct.
Makes sense?
Yeah. And to make all the changes and those public hearings.
Now, how is it determined on C&D, engineering review fee and compliance, the dollars at cost? So who determines at cost? Us or?
Stantec does.
Stantec. Okay. When they review the application.
All right.
Okay. And they actually bill.
147 hours in at X dollars an hour.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then like we had happen with Diamond Hill, the meter on Stantec went to zero, and they said, this isn't moving forward until you give us, recharge the meter.
Right.
So that's the way that works. Now, I don't know if the town does any costs for building inspector, whether we bill that under compliance or not. I don't know if that gets billed at all.
Okay.
He has his own scheduling for that.
Okay, yep.
And actually, he's mentioned to me that some of those need to be reviewed because some of them are too expensive.
Huh? Now, that would be a select board issue, I would think, right? Or is that something we can do on
his own? I'm not sure.
Okay.
Alright, so, and I don't know, we need to find out if we have been billing for that site plan review or not. Because I do think that doing the app fee and the site plan review fee probably puts us more in line with other towns.
If I'm not mistaken, sorry, I'm still a little bit new to the whole process.
Yeah, you're done.
It would be two different applications. So, for example, a major subdivision like Diamond Hill, or a major site plan like Diamond Hill, did they come in for two different hearings, one for a subdivision, one for a site plan?
No.
Okay, so then we have not been charging both. If they turn in a site plan application, then they would pay the site plan fee. If they turned in the subdivision application, they would pay the subdivision fee.
Hmm. So they haven't done the site plan.
No, that was all part of the same thing. That was all part of the same thing.
Right. Can I ask what constitutes a site plan?
I thought we were just in for they were just here for the application, that we were doing the waivers, checking all that off.
Yeah, but that's all part of the site plan.
So, yeah.
Now this is as clear as mud.
So, so the way we've historically done it is we would review the plans, accept the application, but the site plan review would be kind of incorporated into that process. So there wouldn't be two separate processes, because what this would indicate is that there is the application, that yes, it's complete, then that there's a site plan review, and then there's a vote to accept the site plan.
Right.
Well, that's the way we could do this, right? Because the application fee is charged up front when they send in the application,
correct.
Right? And then it goes through the engineering review and, the completeness review, right? And we go through that whole process, and then we accept it as complete. And it at that point, we are then technically doing the site plan review once it's accepted as complete. But the way we've been doing it is it kind of happens during that whole engineering.
It morphs into it,
right? By the time we get to complete,
we've already fleshed it out.
But how does the public know?
You've kind of done the site plan.
Yeah.
How does the public know when that public hearing is for the site plan? I mean, it just didn't make. I didn't understand when the public hearing was supposed to be. It seemed like we had two meetings with the application, going through the application.
Then we accepted.
And now and we accepted the application with waivers.
Well, we accepted as complete.
As complete, yeah. Depending on state permits.
No, we don't even get to that point yet. When we accept it as complete, meaning, and we probably overkill it before we accept it as complete in this town, right? So, there's a whole list of criteria, all the things that we say in there that they have to do and meet, right? Once they have all those things on the plans and Stantec accepts the plans as complete, as being good, then we vote to accept them as complete. And that's when the public hearing happens. By law, that's when the public hearing happens, once they're accepted as complete.
And then that's when the site plan review would begin?
But the problem is.
But it's already been kind of established.
We
but now we're doing a deep
through a lot of it. Yeah.
A deeper look now. Okay, it's complete to begin real deep discussion, and now we're going to go over it with a fine tooth comb.
So, I agree with you that here's the way it's been done, right? Is that we don't accept it as complete until all the engineering work is up to Stantec's standards, and they go, this is good, right? There's a reason it's done that way, because the minute we accept it as complete, the clock starts.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if we've accepted as complete, we've now got 60 days to get through all those engineering issues.
And wouldn't that be like the site review?
And that would be, no, you've on your plans it says 3-inch piece stone. We want 1-inch piece stone. All that crap now has to happen in 60-day window, or we're out of luck, right? Yeah, we're stuck. Okay.
So that's why, because of that state law, that's why this process has become kind of reversed.
Mm-hmm.
We keep it in non-complete as long as possible to stop the clock from starting.
Mm-hmm. I get that.
I don't think it's
It's just the words site and application that we're kind of like fumbling around.
So I don't think it's necessarily the best way to do things, because you're literally not making any progress and you're bogged down. But because we got that 60-day window, that's why we handle it that way. And it's frustrating for the public, because they sit there hearing after hearing, going through all these engineering things, and can't talk until we accept it as complete, because we're technically not having a hearing on it. So that's
so should we combine the site plan review cost and have it be a $400 fee?
Yeah.
You know, that may make sense, right?
If we're fleshing it out over the course of time, because that took 3 or 4 meetings.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
So if we're shortcutting the process because of the limitations of the legislation that makes us do that, we're covering the ground like we need to
in less time.
In the most expedient way to do so, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if we've never really been charging the site plan review because it's been being eaten up by the other process, we should at least recover that cost.
Or could the application be where Megan comes in and gets everything in order, then it comes before the board, and now we start looking at it to see if it's complete? Maybe that's when the other part kicks in.
Oh,
I'm just
right.
trying to make sense of this.
Right, or is there a phase 1 and phase 2?
Right.
Say, so when I total it up,
and
Deerfield,
it's not clear.
Deerfield's at 700.
For everything?
Subdivision fees. Raymond's off the charts. Raymond, like 9 lots, is 1,300. And they have application fees, some subdivision fees, site plan review fees. So major subdivision in Chester is 300 plus 150 for noticing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, plus they've got a per lot fee of $300.
Multiplied by 4.75, added to the variable rate of 75, multiplied by the number of new lots.
Big mathematician.
There's actually an equation.
Yeah.
BR times 4.75 plus like
DMC squared.
There's like math. There's math going on there.
That's why I opted to just print those. I was like, I could not even make sense.
She said she was trying to make a spreadsheet and it was messy. And I said, just give us the papers.
It was very messy.
Very interesting to compare.
And now that was clearly derived by some kind of process.
Yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. And here's Auburn, yeah. 250 per application plus $25 per 1,000 square feet of floor area, and administrative fee of $35 per approval.
They're a lot more in depth.
So I do think if we go to that, if we drop that site plan review fee, which again, we're probably not charging anyway.
Well, it needs to be absorbed somewhere.
And I think that makes, you know, for the major, make it a $400 fee. I mean, that does make some sense.
Because we're combining it to the advantage of the builder, right? We're trying to accelerate and be efficient with their time and their engineers that they're bringing here to explanation purposes. Mm.
Move that to 400. Strike that. And for the minor, we're at 100 now.
Well, no, you said
we're at 75 in the documents, but we're on this document.
Right.
We're
it's
at 100.
And it's 75 here for site plan review.
Would you want to change the title of application for subdivision in parentheses under it, perhaps say includes site plan review?
Correct.
Yes.
I think so.
Nice.
Yeah.
application for subdivision and site plan review.
Yep.
But is that the one that we were talking about going to 165?
No.
That's not it?
That's not it. That, no. That's just the legal notice.
Okay. Legal notice.
So for minor, do you want to go up to 175 since it's down here as minor for 75?
Plus that one yep. gets the asterisk too, Mark.
Yeah, 165 gets the asterisk, yeah. Yeah, and I'd say we go to 175
for the minor.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you're just looking at dividing off one lot, that's not an onerous.
Right.
Not an onerous number.
So you're saying go down to from 100 to 75?
No, 175. So we're combining these two.
Yep. Strike that. Goes to there.
Can I ask another dumb question?
Sure.
They're not dumb.
I was going to ask the same thing a lot.
No. The engineering review fee at cost.
Oh, that's
one. That is the developer paying them directly, correct?
Yeah.
Right.
So they get billed directly by.
They get billed directly.
It actually comes through us, right?
Well, we have to sign off. You have to sign off.
I sign off on the bill. We give it to them. They give Megan a check. She gives it to Stantec.
Okay. Right. So they invoice us, basically.
But we act like an agent. We
receive the good. The
and then we mark it as received. And
well, so you don't get an escrow up front?
No, not up front. No, we get escrow at the end.
Okay. For things like roads and things like that, right?
Yeah, yeah we put that usually on after.
Yeah.
No, I just know that. In some towns, they have for their engineering, the developer will pay an escrow amount based on what the engineer says that they will be charging the bank, for the engineer.
Yeah, Stantec does make a recommendation to us when it comes down to that, yeah.
But like a town like Auburn actually holds it and then pays Stantec out of that escrow. The town is actually holding the escrow, getting the interest on it. So
we hold that, yeah.
So, let me see what. Now, Tim, what's the lot origination fee? Like just looking up your title, or I don't understand lot.
What number is that?
B.
2B on appendix C.
It's number B.
Letter B.
Yeah.
Letter B.
Number B. Letter two? Yeah. I have no idea.
For which one?
Lot origination fee. $75 per lot slash dwelling.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be if you subdivide a lot and you're making a new house lot out of it?
It sounds like creation.
I don't know. Maybe we'll have to check out what that one is. I don't know.
One of my questions is, should we, at the engineering review, if Megan's going to do work where she's going to take in a check, record it, mail it, should we have something there saying that, the town gets compensated for that?
Like a handling
work
fee?
Yeah. I mean, not nothing huge, but plus whatever time that the land use office is engaged in handling those transfers.
Well, we could do, at cost plus administrative fee.
Plus $25, $50 administrative fee. You want to put a number on it?
No, because the problem is you could have somebody come in and, Stantec's billing them $2,000 or whatever, and then you've got something like a Tanglewood or a Diamond Hill or whatever where
they keep coming in.
It's back and forth and back and forth, right? I see your point, though. That may make it easier and neater. Then we have to track.
Like per payment? It would be in the builder's best interest to upfront, like an escrow almost, but
and maybe we just say for the major.
They make more interest than they would in a $25 fee.
Right.
So it would.
Maybe we just say for the major site plan, where a minor you usually have a resident coming in subdividing a separate lot.
Right.
But for a major, maybe.
No,
yeah.
I don't know how we...
Plus administration costs, you know.
Yeah.
But that's, you gotta be able to...
Justify. She would just be able to say X amount of time spent.
But that's not how you mark your time. Like, you don't do a time card that says I spent time on this project.
Right.
Like a Raytheon thing, right? Like contract number.
Right.
So
I'm saying it's kind of difficult, right? Because we don't track it.
And it's just because when we did the impact fees, Southern New Hampshire was very clear about you have to be able to back up how you came to these fees.
Right.
So we can't just say asterisk plus cost. And like, what's the cost? We need to have a rationale.
Well, doesn't that administration fee get absorbed in the application and site plan review fees?
Yeah, and that's
because
true.
What we were just talking
about.
How long does
more.
It take?
Yeah.
So we're like calculating that so that admin fee is already absorbed in that fee.
That's a fair point. I just don't know how we can, I mean, I don't think putting a $25 or $50 charge on there for admin fee, it doesn't move the needle and it's a totally arbitrary number. And,
right.
We can't track it.
We just eat it in the 400.
Plus, there's a certain element of service that we're supposed to provide.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. I'd say we just leave it at that. So boundary line adjustments at $50.
I mean, it's not usually a lot with that.
No.
No, that doesn't take.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Of the abutter notice that is asterisked, mm-hmm. So we're good there. We'll just leave it at that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Driveway permit $25.
I mean,
yeah.
Jeff, you don't have any input on that, do you?
No.
So typically, you know the area even before they come in.
Yeah, sometimes I don't even have to go out.
Yeah.
Most of the time, you already kind of know where the driveway is. The only ones that are, like, take a little bit of time are, like, you know, people have plans and stuff like that. Other
right.
than that, it's pretty easy.
And typically, that's more of a subdivision. Bigger deal.
You have to be able to like measure sight lines and stuff like that. To
yeah, but you already kind of know what it
okay.
looks like.
Okay.
The most part. I mean, I normally drive out and look at it, but I've already like looked at the site before.
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
The legal notice per hearing, is that... What, that 150...
That's the 165 with the asterisk now.
Okay, so that's 160, right.
With the asterisk.
Yeah.
That's not... That's
okay.
per hearing, but not per meeting, right? Because
right.
we continue the hearings.
Right, okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because the legal notices have already been put out.
Right.
The only time that would come into play is if they had to reapply.
Correct. If they don't continue
the
hearing
the fee,
to a date certain, then they got to go through that again.
Correct.
Right,
so you're saying 165?
Plus with the asterisk.
Yeah, the asterisk as it goes up.
Yep. Gravel pit permit.
How many of those?
We don't get a lot of them.
No, we can leave the Mylar recording fees in here, but we do not record the Mylar, so that's a moot point.
Oh, okay. Because I was wondering about the L-chip fee. I don't think we even use the L-chip. Do we still?
Yeah, I mean, we should probably take those out because we don't do the recordings anymore.
What about the delivery to registry fee?
We don't do that?
We don't do that.
We don't do that.
So the whole thing is moot.
So get rid of it?
Yep.
The Mylar fee as well?
Yeah.
Okay, all of K gone?
Yeah.
Yep.
Gone, yeah. There was too many issues with us delivering them, and they started kicking a lot of them back.
Okay.
Because they're real fussy down at the
Oh, yeah, that was smudged, so you got to redo
yeah.
it, and somebody's
yeah.
got to recycle it. And
right.
Yeah. Who creates the Mylars? The engineering companies? They have
yep.
a machine
yep.
to print them up?
Yeah. And the fire inspection fee for major subdivisions of $50.
Yeah, and that's basically just Dean reviewing the application, right?
Yeah. I wonder if anybody else has got that. Just looking and seeing if it's on any of these sheets. People have some really complex...
Yeah, they do.
It'd be interesting to talk to the Raymond people to see how they got to where they got with that.
Really, you want to?
No, I'm just saying it would be interesting to understand how they derive those numbers.
Because they have a
town
he's a really good guy, but they have a full-time town planner who's very experienced, very knowledgeable,
oh.
and you gotta justify your paycheck, so you know, you create a really cool schedule. Existing site work fee. So
they have a escrow at the bottom of page two of Raymond is an escrow deposit chart.
And a minor is $850.
Chester?
No, Raymond. $850 for a minor subdivision.
And yet they're still getting hammered with development.
It's interesting, like Auburn, they are major. $250 per application, right? We talked about this, and $25 per thousand gross floor area. So I guess it's 1,000
square feet.
Do they even have those? Like for Diamond Hill, we don't even have numbers for those houses yet because they're just house lots. So it's like a.
I don't know how you calculate that then, right? Unless you say.
Unless it's a back judge.
unless you say, you know, we're going to.
Average in town is 2,500 square feet.
So there you're paying us for 2,500?
I can ask Gary.
Yeah.
Or do you
really, I think we're going to stick with what we got.
I guess my point in the long run is that even at $400, like, candy's very cheap. You know, I don't know. Don't want to, you know, raise these fees incredibly, but don't want to do the town disservice either.
Usually for a major subdivision, though, you got a developer coming in. They're gonna put what 7 to 10 house lots in usually.
Yeah, no, we
could anything do. Over three anyway.
Now we could do, guys, which there's some logic to, which is I'm taking off of your thought process there. We could have tiers of, you know, up to 10 houses. Making numbers up is $400. You know, 11 to 25 is $600, and you know, whatever create, because let's face it.
Well,
you
Auburn
know,
has $100 per proposed lot major, yeah. But theirs is four or more lots for major subdivision. As is nine.
Ours is four.
As is three.
Yeah, more than three lots.
We're three.
Three or less is a minor.
Yeah. So we're four and up.
Yeah. So that's
for major.
I mean, that's another thing.
I don't know. I'm with Kevin. I don't want to burden a lot of expense. Some of it, we provide a service.
Right. I'm torn because I hate fees and government, but at the same time, these people that are going to come in are going to sink millions into this, and whether it's 400 or 800, it's a totally irrelevant, right, to them.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, for the next meeting, which I can... Again, I can put together.
Well, we're going to have to post for two public hearings.
Correct.
Which are going to be 30 days apart. And then we can discuss, and I'm sure some residents are going to want to come in and give their input.
And we don't have to have a finalized thing for the public hearings, right?
Right.
You know, so we can have, like, Megan and I can just make up some stuff. We can make up two different things. One is the flat fee that we just talked about, and another one with some stepping, because I kind of agree with you, Kevin. I don't want to, somebody wants to put in four houses, I don't want to bang them too hard with fees, but if someone comes in and wants to put in 50 houses, that there's a much higher cost to town, right? There's a much higher cost in Amy's time and in my time. Well, my time doesn't cost the town money. Diamond Hill took a lot of my time.
A lot more meetings, a lot more public.
I also like David's comment, though, about we don't want to come in cheaper than the neighboring towns, you know, and do ourselves an injustice. Hey, candy is cheaper.
Yeah.
Let's see what we can get through. Just, you know.
You're still going to have
we
land.
We are a wonderful town.
You're still
going to
have land, Judy.
I know. We are a wonderful town, and we don't want to sell ourselves short or cheaper. So I do hear what he says.
Yeah. No, so, that's what I like about our group here, right? You know, you said one thing, and we just
went somewhere else.
We totally took that and spun it and looked at it in all different directions. So I think that's a that. Let's go with both those routes, and we'll see what we think and what the townspeople think at the hearing. But
yeah,
it might go a third way, right?
Yeah, right. More than one side.
Yeah, I mean, who knows, right?
I know, because it's really interesting.
Contact info for the Raymond guest.
Yeah,
I want to talk to him about solar stuff.
Oh sure, yeah,
excellent.
Yeah, Jim's a good guy.
It's really interesting to compare all of these different rates and wonder how they came up with them and what's, you know, the rationalization, and take the best and fairest and put it together.
Solar is becoming a huge issue throughout the state. Just because the more you dump into our system, now protections have to be put in. There's imbalances with bars and everything else. So, I mean, there's a lot of things going on right now. And, you know, the Department of Energy isn't dealing with it right now. But eventually they're going to have
to. Every homeowner says, oh, boy, I can net meter and make some money or whatever and dump it in without thinking about the ramifications upstream, right?
Yeah. Well, it's a huge one, Seth, really, the problem, where mom and pop, you know, they're just dumping in a little bit, but when you're putting in megawatt here and megawatt there, it adds up.
Right.
And then you got generation. But what happens when you don't have the usage?
You got a surplus, right?
So.
Sounds like a good thing to me. Surplus?
Yeah.
Well, you got to do something with the surplus.
You got to do something,
Can't you store it until you need it?
No.
You got lease agreement.
Okay.
Yeah, unless you buy a bunch of batteries, you can't store it. Although, there's one in southern Vermont and one in western Mass where they pump water up a hill.
Oh, yeah.
With the surplus, and then run it back down a flume to a generation station when they need the power.
Hmm.
So it's a old school battery.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Pump it up. Run her down.
Connecticut Energy just sitting there.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Iceland with the geothermal. Is that cool?
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I wish that I'd been really busy this week, so I didn't get a chance to look at all those.
You did fine.
Yeah, this was excellent discussion.
We covered a whole bunch of ground.
Yeah, good chart.
Now, what's the earth excavation thing?
Oh, that was just another fee that wasn't on the schedule of fees that I figured you guys would. And both of the pages, they're found in different areas, and they have different dollar amounts for the same thing, so I wasn't sure. Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure we want to get into earth excavation fees, because that's a state permit situation that I, you know...
Is it in our regulations?
No.
It says competent earth excavation regulations, second page. So it must be in there somewhere.
You did have something on excavation fees, I thought.
So we have an earth excavation application, which is the first page.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second page comes from the earth excavation regulations that we have on our, there's like a separate document of just regulations for earth excavation.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I thought you were talking about earth excavation fees in terms of subdivisions, and I'm like, we don't want to cross that.
No, it's just done the whole 2 pages here. I wasn't sure whether it was, we were going to talk about it or what it is or.
Really, it sounds like it's just a gravel pit a permit thing.
That's a whole huge process, too.
Probably get state approved too.
Well, not only that, but there's only certain zones of town, and it's not many, and every one of them, and that also requires site plan and everything.
Yeah, and this is talking about mylar recording.
It has to have reclamation plans involved and everything.
Yeah, butters, notices.
Well,
but again,
it's
a fee.
But that could apply to maybe just somebody that wants to excavate some material off their property.
Right, or wants to regrade a large
part
of their
property.
Anything
over 1,000 yards.
Let's take a look at this.
Mm-hmm.
It's a some of it says major excavation. And then,
so there is an application fee of $200, legal fee notice of $50, so that obviously we're going to want to make all legal fee notifications be the same.
Because
it doesn't matter what we're notifying, it's going to be
correct.
The same cost.
The same thing.
Mylar recording, that'll go out. All right, we'll take a closer look at that one.
It already has the asterisk, so we're just going to change that to 165 with the asterisk, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
wonder when the last time we had one of these come through.
I don't even remember one ever.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah.
What about for where they're blasting the rock over the quarry?
That's a whole different thing. That's exactly gravel.
Yeah.
Processing. That's not allowed in Kansas.
And that town pit is exempt from that, right?
That's right. But that one down there is in Raymond, the Candia one.
On the Candia side of it?
They're not working that one because they can't.
But if they ever thought of it,
they would have to apply.
They would come and apply.
Right.
All right, so we'll schedule it for our next meeting when we don't have anything large.
The next scheduled meeting that we haven't gotten an application for would be the first Tuesday in June.
Wednesday.
Oh, sorry, first Wednesday in June. And then I can't remember exactly what that date is. I believe it's the
June 4th.
Yeah. And then the 18th would be the next meeting in June, and that is Beaver Meadows coming back in to amend their application to do condo ownership.
That's not going to be big either. So those are two good meetings. Yeah.
Well, you're going to have 30 days in between, right?
I don't think so. Not for the...
For the public hearing?
For the fees?
Do you?
I don't know. We'll find out.
I don't think you do, but I will...
I think you just have to notice it properly. That's all that it's...
Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't think you do.
Because the first one will be a continuation of the next meeting.
Okay. I'm just making sure we're...
I don't think we've ever had to do that before for this type of stuff. But let's say, we needed two consecutive meetings for impact fees.
Okay. Right.
Okay. Yep. So let's do that. We'll put together some pricing. Anybody got anything else?
I had a question for you, Tim. We talked recently about, it goes a few months ago, I think it's the Avatar site is being updated, plans and such and information, and we're supposed to look into that. At some point, whether or not I think there was we thought that maybe we only had so much contract space and we have to get more updates or something.
I don't know if we've gotten anywhere in the plans, right? We don't.
Will and I have been saving all files in the shared drive that we have on Avatar so far. I don't think we've been saving any physical plans, just the permits, the inspections, and then. If it goes through a ZBA case, that's when I would put the notices of decision. I'm not sure. I this is the first time hearing of this.
Yeah, so I mean, because, that would be available to the public?
Avatar?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I think it depends on, I think it might be a coding thing, because there's some things where I have to log in order to see, for building permits and stuff.
But
you
do put in the paperwork and stuff from the applicants, right, on the meeting?
On the shared drive. And on the Candia website is where we post the plans and the notices of decision.
No, I think it was more updated... town maps and such.
The tax maps. They need to be updated.
Yeah.
They are very old.
Correct. Well, I've got to follow up with Stantec again on that.
Okay.
See where they're at, because that's Stantec.
Okay. Sorry.
And we ended up getting a miscommunication from them in terms of cost to keep it updated. They gave us a lower number, but that was a basic maintenance fee.
Right.
So we are probably going to be a little behind the eight ball this year in getting all the updates done that we want, but we will take care of that next budget year.
Okay, thank you.
If the budget committee approves it, but
yep.
Right. and I think they didn't do the maintenance they should have done when we were going through the process of setting it up, and I'm not sure whether our tax maps that we gave them were old and. But that is still not corrected, and it won't be corrected this year.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, will the maintenance, if we go with the program of maintenance, will that be updated yearly as part of a maintenance? Because people come in and they're doing lot line adjustments, and things are happening in town, but it's not reflected in that tax map.
That is another charge we have to add. Thank you.
we have to add the charge.
Oh, for plot line adjustment.
For, well, especially for subdivisions.
Yeah.
Updating the GIS system.
Right.
Like the town shouldn't have to pay for that. They should. So we want to add that GIS update at cost. We've been talking about that and it totally spaced tonight. But that's another one we should add in. Right?
Yeah. I have two things.
Okay, keep going.
Okay.
I was giving him the finger.
Okay. I mean, you could go ahead.
No, you
okay.
Go first.
So I was reading in the minutes and then I saw where there was Bill 188, some kind of RSA that says now prevents denial of permits on Class 6 roads. Mm-hmm. Can you elaborate on that?
That was her.
Yeah.
So
she's the one that updated us on that.
Hang on a second. Do you all look at the New Hampshire Municipal Association's legislative updates today?
I try.
Not as often as I should.
I mean, it's pretty easy to get to it.
You'll have to give me that one because I'm not getting the Democracy website.
Well, I know the really bad one hasn't made it through, so.
Well,
yeah.
70's pretty bad, too.
Which is the really bad one?
The 2-acre one was at 88.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but Senate Bill 170 is pretty bad, too.
I understand they want for 2 ADUs per lot is on AOT's desk, from what I understand.
Yes. Yes, and he's crowing about it.
How many?
The House rep. 2 ADUs per town, like every, like,
lot.
Yeah.
By state regulation, every town will allow 2 ADUs per lot.
Depending on acreage or just?
No.
Nope.
First one's by
but aren't you glad we're there already?
Yeah.
Right,
but so I think they're also having it be 900 feet, maybe.
Mm-hmm. That's what they have it at.
Yes,
really?
900 feet.
So we it's weren't far
feet.
Off.
Yeah,
that's
the thing.
It's
supposed to be 1/3 of the original domicile.
That's how ours is.
75%.
75. And then. Yeah, they said it was 900 square feet.
So we're 850 something.
If you just go to the New Hampshire Municipal, nhmunicipal.org, go to their website, and you will see they do legislative updates every week.
Okay.
Okay. So, and they encapsulate, you know, they give you a little capsule thing. So, looks like Senate Bill 84, which is the 2-acre maximum. They're saying that after the floor vote, tomorrow, because tomorrow the House meets, most likely the Housing Committee will hold an executive session to talk about this bill, because they did not talk about it 2 weeks ago. He purposely said we're not going to talk about it, and he knows he has to do something by the 29th. I've talked to a couple people in a couple other towns, and the feeling is that they'll just let it...
Table it.
Die,
Die. Maybe. I don't know. It's very political because nobody wants to come out saying they're against housing.
Right.
But, you know, some of these things are pretty sweeping and pretty bad. And the Municipal Association has pretty much been opposed to all of these. Senate Bill 163, that is the one that prohibits the local moratoria and limitations on building permits. And that, the Housing Committee added to the consent agenda. The municipal organization is, of course, they're asking all of its members to contact, if they have a rep who's on the Housing Committee, or to contact their representatives and say, please take this off the consent calendar, so the consent agenda, so that we can debate it. Because that's the problem with the consent agendas, is that they're just moving. You know, nobody really knows what's in there when it's... Senate Bill 170. This one is pretty bad. The Municipal Association says this is the worst bill of the bunch. It has many changes relating to requirements in your municipality. It conflicts with the formal application process for subdivision site plans, which the Municipal Association is thinking will invite litigation on how to interpret the language and prevent developers and boards from working collaboratively, which is what Brian had just been talking about. The bill limits local environmental regs and conflicts with innovative land use controls, allow for cluster housing developments, and it prohibits municipalities from adopting any ordinance that discriminates based on the familial or non-familial relationships or marital status among the occupants. To me, that's like the least.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I hate to say this, but there are a lot of people who don't want to see group homes or things like that, homes for people with, you know, intellectual disabilities. I've lived in communities, I've lived close to those kinds of houses. They are not a problem. But the one about with the formal application process, and I would have to go back and look at the bill because I was not focused on this bill, but that just sounds to me like it could cause a lot more litigation as developers come in here and say, well, I don't think that, you know, it's like giving developers a right to argue with you about your subdivision review process.
Yeah, I remember reading that bill because I do remember going, well, the familial stuff, we don't have any of that requirements. But
I think that's the big one there.
I didn't catch, I mean, obviously I'm not, I don't read in that depth, so I didn't catch conflicts of the bills.
The Municipal
bills,
Association really wants this bill killed. I don't know.
Which bill is that?
170.
Okay.
And
can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
So are they actually trying to change?
Yeah, they're sticking their nose into how every municipality does their subdivision reviews. And so it could affect, you know, it can affect Pembroke differently, it can affect you differently, depending on what your process is. So I would have to pull up that bill here.
Mm-hmm.
But I would ask you to take a look at that. Mm-hmm. And if you do have a buddy who is one of our house reps, at least have it pulled off the consent calendar. Say, can you pull us off the consent calendar? They only need 10 votes, I believe, to take something off a consent calendar and then to debate it. So. Senate Bill 284, that just reduces the number of parking spaces.
Yeah.
We're already above that state law, the current state law.
There's the House bill that allows residential building in commercial zones, mandating mixed-use development in nearly every zoning district. The bill passed both chambers and will be enrolled and sent to the governor, so you'd have to contact AOT's office on that one. House Bill 685 mandates manufactured housing by right in residential zoned areas, but they say that the bill has a conflicting requirement that can create confusion for towns and local land use boards. I don't really know what that is, but it is going to probably be voted on. It was sent to the consent calendar by amended and passed by the Senate. The bill will be returned to the House and concur or non-concur. So they have to look at that amendment, which I don't know what that is. House Bill 342 allows homeowners on their property to build without seeking a variance for minimum lot size or lot coverage if the proposed building density conforms to that of the surrounding area.
Mm.
That's an interesting one.
Mm.
Sounds like a lot of interpretation.
Mm. Yeah, so it's on the Senate consent calendar.
But that's an existing lot that they're just adding adding more square footage to.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something that we would approve,
as long as
they include the setbacks.
Without seeking variances for minimum lot size or lot coverage. So,
I don't know
if that means that they could do it or not, and if they
without any
had to ask, if normally they would have to ask for a variance, now they don't.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what that.
Yeah, because now you're adding more impervious surface.
Yeah.
So, a lot.
So, House Bill 428 prohibits municipal amendments to the state building code. So that bill was passed by the Senate. It's going to go back to the House. I don't know if Candia, if you just follow the building code or if you add additional, some municipalities add their own flavor to it. Senate Bill 78 changes the Zoning Board of Adjustments appeal period to 45 days. What's Candia's? Do you know what zoning?
30.
Yeah, so it changes it to 45. So they have 45 days to appeal. They can take a little bit longer.
You either know in 30 or you don't.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it just gives them more time to come back, and so if the zoning board has denied something, you know,
I'm not about
length. And you used to think 30 days you were good. Now it's another 15. And the other one is Senate Bill 188, where property owners or developers can use licensed insured private providers for building code inspections and plan reviews. So excluding fire and safety. So if this were to pass in a town like Auburn that has a pretty much full-time building inspector, if somebody comes in and says, I really want to use somebody else, this is when I'm going to pay them, you know.
But there was an amendment put on that one that gave the towns the right to refuse it.
Yes, the town can refuse that. Yeah. So, again, that's just to try to push things through and get them done. But, you know, I talked to two building inspectors in other towns, and they said that we don't really hold things up. We move them as fast as we can. So I don't know what communities are slow walking stuff through. Senate Bill 281 is the one that you talked about. It prohibits a town from denying building or occupancy permits for property adjacent to Class 6 roads under certain circumstances. Municipalities currently may restrict building on Class 6 roads to prevent overdevelopment of undeveloped infrastructure and controlled scattered and premature development. While the bill requires that landowners sign a liability waiver, it does not consider whether the Class 6 road and abutting properties can sustain new development. So this is on the consent calendar for tomorrow. So again, if you have a local representative that you can call and ask them, can you get 10 of you together to pull it off the consent calendar to have a debate, maybe it would be stopped. That just takes it right out of your hands.
Anybody got anything else?
Yeah, I just, I was learning about this House Bill 588, the Appendix Q, a model building code for foundational-based and movable tiny houses, providing safety standards for houses that are 400 square feet or under. A municipality shall permit the use of a single tiny home as a detached auxiliary housing unit following RSA 674:73. I'm just, you know, real curious about the tiny homes and as we look at affordable housing, so.
Well, the housing committee did go and look at tiny homes at their previous meeting. They did not have an executive session. They actually went out and visited it. So if you Google, you know, New Hampshire Housing Committee tiny home visit, you'll see some news about it. And they did go out and have a meeting with one of the developers out in
Dover.
I forget where.
Yeah, that one you sent us.
Like
yeah, I don't know if you looked at the one for Dover, but it's really cool because there was an 8-acre lot. Yeah. Originally, like 9 McMansions were going to go in. But this couple, the lady is an architect, the guy is the construction dude, and they invested in it. So 8 acres, they put in 44 homes and still had 4 acres of conservation land. And they had checked with the abutters, and, you know, like, what are the abutters going to think? Who's moving into it? Firefighters, teachers, lawyers, nurses. It's not like riffraff, you know, and the sense of community, you know, but it's not for everybody, but at least it's affordable because they said, you know, Dover, the other house prices. I just think it's real exciting, a way to meet the affordable housing need. Mm-hmm. So, and they're really, really cute. You know, they took you inside.
Yeah, they were. I mean, they
was
nice.
Amazed.
Yeah, it's really, really tight.
It's
now,
certainly
one thing I would be interested in, though, is if somebody, we now have the ADU by right, if somebody said, I want to put a prefab 800 square foot boxable unit on a foundation, would we allow that? Or does it have to be stick built?
What's boxable?
Oh, that's interesting you say that, Kevin, because somebody did walk into the Auburn building office and ask that very thing. Yeah.
It comes all packaged.
Was
oh, okay, so
or
like
not?
Yeah, like a...
Were they approved or not?
He was just starting the process, like, what would I need to do?
Did you see the one with the label box?
He was
just exploring the possibility.
He was going to have it, and she explained to him, you know, that he needed to have the foundation, and it needed to, you know...
Have utilities and septic and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So, one of Elon Musk's companies is this company Boxable, and it comes on a flatbed.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely pre-wired, highly insulated plumbing.
Mm.
It pops, the walls fold up.
I think I've seen something like that. Yeah.
It's good to go in 12 hours.
Yeah.
And they're $50,000 or something.
Yeah.
No kidding.
There's a few companies out there. There's another one like with Lego. They almost look like Lego blocks. And it's highly insulated.
If you go on Boxable's website,
yeah,
they are only allowed in certain states. New Hampshire is not one of those states. Vermont is. I don't know if other New England states are or not.
The limiting factor would be from the building inspector's perspective or for detached ADUs from the zoning board's perspective is the architecture.
That would be
the limiting factor, right? They couldn't have something that looks like it was in a 3D, well, 3D printer.
Unless the first house was a 3D printed house.
it's more than that because what I heard her say to him was that it still had to meet the requirements of, and Auburn only has, at this moment, attached ADUs. So it had to meet the requirements of an attached ADU in the way it enters and exits out of the rest of the building.
Yeah,
you couldn't just take one of these Boxables and say, I'm going to have a wall here and not go into the main house, and we're just going to exit and, you know. So she explained all that to him. The fact that there are now going to be detached ones as well, maybe you do need to address
how that
works.
I think we might want to try to think about getting ahead of that because...
We don't prohibit it.
No.
We don't speak to it at all.
We don't speak to it at all.
So you would still be able to do it. I mean, we don't speak about campsites,
No, I thought everything. I thought unless like the solar thing, it was denied by the building inspector because if it's not specifically allowed, it's prohibited by definition.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, I mean, you know, I don't know, ask the lawyer, right? But we don't specify what the construction method of the ADU has to be, one way or the other. We allow an ADU. It has to be architecturally similar to the house. But in terms of construction, that's the only limitation that we have in the ordinance.
Okay.
I thought the septic too.
Mm-hmm.
So we need septic water and parking and all that kind of stuff and a foundation, and it's got to be site prepared for them to drop it.
Yeah, you know, but what I'm saying is if we don't specifically say it has to be a stick built, unit, I think trying to deny somebody because it's a manufactured piece or a prefab piece, I think that could be appealed.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my take. I don't know whether it would stick or not.
But the fact that they aren't allowed in New Hampshire yet might be a state prohibition from allowing them some state regulation.
What it might be is they need to get fire approval and all that stuff, right? You know, they have to go through an approval process to say they're safe to live in.
But that's coming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, would those, just kicking it out here, would those... be allowed in areas where, like, say, we got the Manchester Manor and all that, the trailer park. There's three different properties in Candy already zoned for or approved for trailer parks. Would those go there?
But these aren't trailers.
Three different.
They
get approved by New Hampshire, they'd be able to come to us and say, instead of trailers, we'd like to do.
Right, but with a trailer park, you don't own the land. Right, you lease the plot, so I don't know if it would be the same, but
And would these be considered the Boxables? Would they be considered the manufactured housing, which that one of those bills says
it's
going to be allowed in every zone in your municipality? Yeah.
Oh, maybe they're addressing
being driven by the cost.
BOX ABL. If you want to Google it and look at it, it's pretty impressive actually.
Yeah. So I. Again, I mean,
from a personal perspective, I would be afraid to reject those as an ADU,
yeah,
just because as long as it meets the architectural piece,
mm-hmm,
we haven't said it has to be stick-built. So you don't have a solid footing to say, nope, you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not our decision anyway. But, you know, do we need to get ahead of that curve? I think we're probably okay. I think.
Okay. Is there other business?
There is no other business.
Any other business?
Anybody?
So if good. I made a motion to adjourn?
That'd be good, and I'd second it.
All right. And all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.